People just say things. It's crazy. Like, we're allowed to just say this stuff here.
Yeah,
We
that's the
probably
rules
shouldn't
of the
be.
podcast.
Yeah. But we're not writing opinion pieces.
No,
So,
I would never. I write
yeah.
my opinion pieces with my mouth on this pod.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Full Court Mess. It is 4:21.
One.
Not to get everyone a little too excited.
Nope.
Maybe we'll get it next year.
If you listen to this while under the influence of anything, you're going straight to prison.
Yeah.
We
Weed
require
prison,
our
where you get to smoke big.
Locked in mentally.
Yeah, I'm Jared.
Well, we're still down Joe and his sweet, sweet fatherdom.
Yep. He said he might join us in a week or two, right?
Uh-oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
We get to hear Rita's first hot take.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Unless it's bad.
Yeah, in which case, he's going to have to put her up for adoption.
Yeah, he's going to have to. Let's start with a hot take.
All right, lay it on me.
I think if Booker is not back for the series, the Pelicans have a chance to win it in 7.
All right, I've been thinking about the same topic, and folks, we've not discussed this beforehand, but it's a hot topic around the league. So I'll be your pushback. I think.
Okay.
No Booker, some problem, but the Suns advance and need to worry a lot more about their second round matchup.
Okay. Again, I'm not saying it will happen.
Yeah.
But after game two, I'm like, if they can keep at that pace.
For sure. If Ingram and CJ are both going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's going to be hell for the Suns to do without their leading scorer.
Yeah. My dog going crazy out there. Hold on. Damn. Yeah. It's. I mean, Ingram, if Ingram's locked in.
Mm-hmm. I just think, you know,
CJ was. He had like 30 something?
Oh, yeah. He went off.
Yeah.
Booker went out hurt in the middle of game 2, right?
Yeah, I think it was like second half.
Okay, yeah. I think you give those guys the time to acknowledge that they won't have him. And I think I think Suns in 6.
I'm checking his box score right now. I want to see how many minutes he had played.
Well, yeah, I know he scored 31 in the first half and he scored none in the third.
Yeah. He had 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But even then, like, within that, he was a minus 6.
Yeah, I mean, that was
which, Pelicans, you know, doesn't tell the whole story, but.
Yeah, Pelicans were in that game the whole time. It's not like they only won that game because he went out, but I'm assuming Phoenix will handle their shit.
Yeah, I think they can, but if it went, like. Be pretty crazy. It'd be pretty crazy.
That would be
It's not fully out of the question.
Yeah, no. They have a shot if they see if they can take it. I have a hot take that I already don't believe in anymore because
okay.
We didn't do an episode before the playoffs started.
Right.
And so I look really stupid, but this is what hot takes are all about because I'm willing to admit it, baby. I'll do one that I was right about and one that I was wrong about. There was a lot of hype on the Raptors coming into that series. I never, ever believed they would beat the Sixers in that series.
Yeah, I was like, they could make it a series, but I didn't think it'd be like...
yeah, it was just like one of those where it's like, how are y'all going to score enough for a series?
Yeah.
So that's fine. So that's my one to brace what's coming next. If we had done this before any games have been played, I would have picked the Nuggets in an upset over the Warriors. And that looks like probably the single dumbest decision pick you could have made in the playoffs so far, outside of maybe Hawks over Heat.
I mean, I figured that they'd steal a few games.
I really didn't see it like this, and I think that's I was undervaluing Jordan Poole. I was undervaluing Steph's impact coming back. And I was overvaluing the overall competency of the Nuggets. Which I knew they weren't good, but I thought maybe Jokic would drag them to it.
That's the only reason I figured they'd steal a few games. And, you know, maybe they could still. Maybe they might tonight. Who knows? They're back home tonight, so. The only reason for me is Jokic.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's the only thing they have going for them.
But yeah, they've kind of got him, like, figured out a little bit.
Draymond has had him in hell for two games.
Yeah. Draymond locks him up and then, like, gets to a point where he's going to try and score anyway, because he usually just scores on people anyway. I think Gary Payton will get, like, a block on him every game.
Yeah, he's been frazzled, so he needs to get his shit together if they're going to have a chance, but it just...
He needs to kind of stay calm.
Yeah, it to me, it's almost at this point, it's a pretty good mirror for the Celtics Net series where Jokic is Durant, except he doesn't even have a Kyrie.
Yeah,
they're both facing teams that are actually doing an incredible job against them specifically, but also it's like you're not showing up with anything else.
If they had Jamal Murray, it'd be a very different series.
Yeah. The Warriors playing great. They're like, what? Like, they've won each game by 30 or something?
We can take a look. Yeah, it's been pretty big. The Warriors are, like, playing better than they have all season, also. Mm-hmm. And also, this is the first time we're really seeing Steph, Klay, Draymond together.
Yeah.
Plus, Jordan Poole is just going crazy.
He's absolutely unbelievable.
What was I? Schedule. Game one was 123-107.
Okay.
Game two was 126-106.
Okay, so they're winning by about 20 every time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but Jordan Poole is—he's good.
He's a star, man. It rules.
He is. I'm like, pay him.
Yeah, right. How much longer is he on this tiny contract he's on?
I think he has one more year.
Oh hell yeah! He's gonna be such good value for one more year.
I imagine they're gonna try to, if they can. Can they extend him this summer? I think so. They got to do something to keep him happy. Oh my god!
He really got a shitty deal coming on into that rookie contract. His rookie contract was 4 years, $10 million.
Yeah,
he's got 1 year left on that.
I mean, what pick was he again? He was kind of late,
like 41 or something. Oh no, he's 28. He was back in the first round.
Yeah. Also, like, he was not that great his first couple years. Like, he was in the G League.
Yeah, like it's not like this has been the case the whole time, but yeah, if this is his case, he's got to he's going to be asking deservedly for a real big extension.
Yeah, and I'm like, you mean you got to? I'd keep him over Wiggins.
Yeah. Oh, in a second. What? Wiggins can leave. You can find another dude who can do that.
I love how people are trying to figure out all these nicknames for this lineup. You know, like the pool, Curry, Klay, Draymond, and Wiggins. But like all the nicknames leave out Wiggins.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I heard PTSD, and I'm all in on that.
That's so good. But I'm like, It's a five-man lineup. Like, if you have to nickname the lineup.
No, I'm good with it. I say it doesn't really matter that much who the fifth dude is.
I like Pool Party's pretty fun.
That's nice. That's a good one.
Man, there's another really good one. There's a lot. A lot. PTSD is pretty funny, though. It's okay. PTSD is not funny.
We got him, folks. We got him on recording.
But the nickname
PTSD is pretty funny.
The nickname's good.
I got a playoff question for you that I'm pretty sure we'll have the same take on, but I'm curious maybe if you have a different one.
Okay.
To me, it's a slam dunk, but most interesting first round series.
Most interesting first round series.
Like, I think about all the series going on right now, and then there's one that comes to me where I'm like, that's the one where I want to watch every game of that.
You know, let me look at things really quick. Like, I can't say the Warriors because that's my boys.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's been probably Bulls Bucks, maybe?
Okay.
No.
Surprised me.
No. No. Let me eliminate some really quick.
Yeah.
Heat Hawks has not been that interesting.
No. Hawks aren't good enough.
Love those guys. Hawks are fun. They're not healthy. Not fully. The Heat are good.
Yeah.
Pelican Suns really don't. I don't care. I don't care. Like, I just. Yep. I'm not going to put myself through that. Raptors, Sixers again. I wasn't really. No, I think my top two is Nets, Celtics, because those are both fun teams. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably, you know what? Then it's Grizzlies, Timberwolves.
That's mine. I'm all in on Grizzlies, Wolves, man. The series with Ja and Anthony Edwards is all I care about.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want either team to lose.
Me neither. I really wish they could.
I want to see the Wolves finally go deep.
Yeah.
At least make it one more round. At least get there.
I'm rooting for them, and I love this Grizzlies team, but I'm more confident in the Grizzlies long term, so I'm like hoping the Wolves find a
way
to
pull it off. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it's like Grizzlies lose, like you guys got a few more. Yeah, you got time. Like, yeah. if the Grizzlies lose the first round, that should not be a heartbreaker. That should not be like discouraging.
Yeah, it's like bounce back, come back stronger.
Yeah, but Timberwolves, like, they're finally starting to figure it out, and I'm trying to see that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. It's to me, it's by far the most compelling series. Like, I definitely see the arguments for Nets Celtics. That's a good one. Bucks Bulls has been really tightly contested. And yeah, some people might say that, hey, yeah, if you watch Pelly Suns, you might see an 8 seed knock off a 1. But man, a series that's got Gaja and Ant in it, and I love Cat too. So it's just like this is awesome.
Yeah. Love Cat. D'Lo's actually making some big shots again.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm extra invested in it because Cat's been catching heavy slander.
Yes.
And I'm like,
that's why it's like, Cat, prove him wrong right now.
Yeah.
Like,
Cat has problems to his game, but like, I think he's easily a top 25 guy, and I think nobody really has that much of a chance when they go to Minnesota. Especially when he did, at least Anthony Edwards coming in had two competent teammates. but that team rules. So I'm hoping we get a great series at a minimum, a Timberwolves win at a maximum.
Also, shout out Pat Bev.
Oh yeah,
because I honestly think he should get a lot more credit in like changing the culture there.
I'm gonna drop the secret to Pat Bev on you, because I say this as what I consider to be the default Pat Bev position, which is I have hated him and loved him multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Pat Bev is a blast if he's on an underdog team. Yep. If Pat Bev is on a good team, a team that's the favorite, he's the worst ever.
That's so fair. That's honestly,
if you,
like,
if you put him on like the Grizzlies or the early Clippers pre-Kawhi, awesome. If you put him on the Kawhi Clippers, terrible.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. But it was fun. People are flaming him for celebrating so hard when they knocked out the Clippers, but I'm like, he just knocked out his old team.
Yeah, no, it's like, they should all of those takes were stupid. They should always celebrate. You made the playoffs. That's something to celebrate.
Not just that, but you made the playoffs on a team that's like very underrated.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you made the playoffs for the first time in a couple years, and the last time you made it, you didn't even advance. Like, come on, like, y'all earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun series. I'm trying to watch those games because I love everyone there.
What games do we have tonight? We have Grizzlies Wolves at 7:30. Then we got Mavs Jazz and then Warriors Nuggets. I will comfortably miss Mavs Jazz.
Oh yeah, that's the other one. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. If Luka was playing, I'd be more interested because I think Luka, I think they also have a chance to knock out the Jazz, which is really weird because saying that sounds like it'd be an upset. But the Mavericks have a better ratio, better win loss this year.
Yeah, and I mean, hell, the series is tied 1-1 without Luka.
Yeah, surprising to me, but
yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be, but that's who the Jazz are.
Well, have you seen Gobert's numbers?
I saw someone had placed an under on the bet for will he average 12 points over the course of the series, so I assume they're not very good.
Okay. Give me, what's your guess on his game one stat? This is the Jazz 99-93 win where he played 35 minutes.
I'm going to say he went off for 10 points and 11 boards.
5 points. All from free throws.
Let's go.
His field goal is he was 0-for-1.
He took one shot.
He took one shot and he missed it. Yeah, you can miss one shot. That's fine. But yeah, he only attempted one shot, but he had 17 boards.
Big time.
And 3 blocks.
So I predicted he would have 21 combined points and boards, and he had 22. I just got the ratio incredibly wrong.
Let me check. Game two, in a 104-110 loss, he was 2-for-5.
Big time.
17 boards again, though.
He's consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care about this series.
No, I don't. And I don't care about the Jazz.
I don't care about the Jazz, but there are guys on the team that I really like. I love Mike Conley. Spider's very fun. Sixth man, what's his name?
Bogey?
Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, Jordan Clarkson.
Love him.
I remember where Bogey plays.
As a team, I don't know.
I can't do it.
Blow it up already. I don't think it's obviously like not working.
When we told you to blow it up, we didn't mean trade Joe Ingles.
Oh man, that's a bummer though.
No matter how hard he is. Yeah.
Yeah, Nets Celtics is fun.
Oh yeah, that's been a good one.
Kyrie's really good at basketball. Do you believe that he plays better during Ramadan? Kyrie real to you?
You know what? Now, there's probably something to be said with the fact that it like neatly intersects with the playoffs, because I think Kyrie is a better playoffs player than he is a regular season player. Yeah. But I find that phenomenal. Any athlete who I'm gonna drop the opposite of that Kevin O'Connor take where he said fasting is easy. I do it all the time. Every athlete who can manage to compete during Ramadan as well. They're like MMA fighters who fight during Ramadan, and that's
it's crazy.
Totally nuts to me.
Yeah.
So as always, Kyrie is a land of contrasts. And in this very one specific one, I respect him.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Overall, I'm two thumbs down.
Yeah, overall, I'm not too high on him as a person lately, but as a player, I will say he's really fun to watch.
Yeah, no, and
he's still very fun to watch.
And he's perfect for the playoffs as long as he's not currently on the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and yeah, Ramadan, Kyrie, I think. Yeah, I think part of it is just that, like, it just happens to be when we're watching him.
Mm-hmm,
so yeah. We just see him playing and we're like, damn, he's going off for Ramadan. But there is part of me that definitely believes, like, athletes during Ramadan, when they're really channeling that, like, and this is coming from someone, I'm not, like, religious at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see them, they're channeling that energy and something's kicking in. Like, they fight through that.
I feel like you do have to be, like, just living with, like, to be training at that level and fasting. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's a different level of focus. So, like, I could totally subscribe to that.
And this is going to be a very strange example to say, because this is another guy who gets 3 thumbs down from us. Enes Kanter was good during Ramadan when he was in the playoffs. He was. And I remember this was before he was all weird, but yeah. There's an interview with him and they're like, how have you been playing like this during? And he was just like, there's just something that like changes your focus. It's like when you're hurt and playing through it.
If you want one of the most, this is something that will be totally memory hold. This will be lost to time. But one thing that sticks out in my mind a lot is that when the Thunder were going up 3-1 on the 2016 Warriors, they were really whooping their ass for a couple of games in a row there, until obviously the Warriors came back and won. But when they were whooping that ass, Enes Kanter and Dion Waiters were legitimate problems for the Warriors.
They were, absolutely.
The Thunder were just kind of like bludgeoning them, and it was just like, we're huge and strong, and it was just like really like it wasn't like just bully ball, because they were also like incredibly fast, and it was kind of just an overwhelming physicality. But yeah, like, it's so funny because just for that, like, for those first 4 games, Waiters, I remember him being a big problem for whoever he had on him. He would back him down and hit his like post up twos, and Enes was an actual problem on the inside. He would come and give those spot minutes, and he was a bully, and he was tough to deal with. And then it was like, okay, we figured that bullshit out. And since then, he hasn't been a useful NBA player.
No, but he was. I give credit. He was really good as an offensive big man.
Yeah.
And then everyone realized he's not a defensive big man.
What's always been fascinating me about that series, though, is I feel like we knew he couldn't play defense before that series. And it was just like, for a magical couple of games, it was like the matchups just worked and the Warriors were a little bit shook. And then game 6, Clay happened. They figured everything out and they went on, and literally he's not been useful since.
Yeah. Also, the Thunder did have that fun thing figured out where, because they had Enes and they had Steven Adams.
Yeah.
So you have a guy who's like mostly defensive, and then you have a guy who's mostly offensive, and they would just switch him back and forth.
Yeah. And it was really, I don't know if it was underrated, but it was really a huge factor there that, like, I remember Matt Moore talking about it. It was like, there, like, no one had athletes like the Thunder had athletes. Like, they would, you'd have like Russ, who wasn't even good at defense, but you'd put Russ, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka out there, and then pick your other people. Like, if it was on defense, it could be Andre Robertson. And they were just monsters. They were huge and fast, and it was like, yeah, that it makes sense that could take a few games to get used to.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, hell, they Robertson beat the
was tough. Like,
they beat the 67 game winning Spurs in the second round to even get there, and it wasn't that much trouble. It was like a reverse sweep, 4-2 reverse sweep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thunder, that was a good team. Those are good roster then.
Good times. The old days.
The old days, yeah. Now look at them.
Pathetic. And the Warriors Wasteland. Still winning games.
I mean, we say Warriors are still winning games, but there were 2 very tough seasons. Well, yeah, one especially tough one. I mean, that... I mean, we there was a season where we had the 7th pick.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that's when you gotta come bucket.
Yeah, But running games now, they look mighty good.
Yeah. Not terrible. Is there, what can we name a team who has not had a down year since 2016? Off the top of my head, it seems like the Celtics would be the closest.
Yeah. But even then,
yeah, they've still been
kind of inconsistent.
Yeah, even, yeah, they definitely have like 500 seasons in there.
Yeah.
That's what I could think of. Raptors have been good almost the whole time, but they just picked Scottie Barnes like fourth overall, so.
Yeah. So they had like one really tough. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's
hard to be very good for six straight years.
Kind of weird, but like, no, I don't know.
I wonder what the Bucks records have been all those seasons. Let's see. Bucks were 500 in 2016-2017.
Okay.
Then still just above 500 in 17-18, and then awesome since then. So I guess that would also be close, but they started off that period being just above 500.
Check the Clippers.
Oh, okay.
They might have had like a bad season.
Let's see their record year by year. 15-16, they were excellent.
Yep.
16-17, they were excellent. 17-18, okay. They were just above 500.
Right.
Then 18-19, good team, even though they got the 8 seed. 19-20, excellent. 20-21, excellent. This year, just above 500.
So there it is. That's the team then.
Yeah. That's really solid.
And you know that year where they were just okay was their rebuild year.
Yeah, that was the one where they, it's like they're like the 10 seed and they were above 500 during it.
Which is like, that's pretty impressive to do that.
Yeah, no, that's
nice. I know they were, because they're another team that were committed to like, we're rebuilding, but we're still trying to win now.
Yeah, I will say that the Celtics are the one who give them the run for their money. The Celtics. Mm-hmm. By year 15-16, let's see, is this seed in the East or is this place in their division? 15-16, they were 48-34.
Okay.
16-17, they won 53 games, then they won 55 games, then they won 49 games, and they won 48 games. Then last year they went 500, and then this year they won 51 games.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty.
I'm looking at the playoff bracket again. Why is the bracket so weird? Round one. Okay, who did we covered Phoenix, right? We don't care about that.
Yeah.
Utah, Taz, don't care. We love Minnesota, Memphis. Round out the West. Warriors, Nuggets. Warriors are going to win that series, I'm pretty sure. However, yep. It has been fun.
Yeah. Be more fun if Jokic can go superhuman for a little bit, but
I think it's just there's only so much he can do with that roster.
Yeah. And that's been that's been clear all year. He's dragged them to where they're at now.
Yeah. Miami Hawks again. Miami's going to win. Philly's gonna win. Okay, so one other one. The Bucks Bulls.
Yeah, Bulls even in the
that's high on my list. Fun Bulls are very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's not much we need to say about the Bucks. They're the Bucks.
Yeah. Another one that's been not in a way to like discredit the Bulls or anything, but another one where we've got a key injury on the higher seed side.
Yeah.
Chris out for a couple of weeks. I would think the Bucks should still be able to handle the Bulls, even down Chris. But, if DeMar's really got it going, then that really is a whole new thing.
That's
took apart Giannis personally last night.
Yeah. The Bucks are still my favorite to win. But I think this is a case where the upset would not be all that surprising.
Yeah.
Because DeMar was really good. Also, so Alex Caruso.
Incredible.
Like, his defense is crazy.
Yeah, he's so ridiculously good, and the Lakers just said no thanks.
Yeah. He might, like, I wanted to ask Joe this, if we talked to him today. I was going to ask him, like, if you know, you're the ultimate Bucks fan, you're a big Bucks fan. If you lose this series, but you lose it only because Alex Caruso is the X factor, are you that upset? Like, that's the guy.
That, man, that's tough. I'm actually very heavily waffling between, am I that upset or am I way extra upset? Because, like, come on, y'all. The Alex Caruso thing I think of all the time is when Seth Partnow put together his, like, NBA tiers for before mm-hmm. this year. He ranked Alex Caruso above RJ Barrett and his tiers, and his tiers are supposed to be like how much they contribute to like winning a championship, and people were just insanely mad at him for ages. And
he's
like,
right, though. Like, he's right.
Yeah, even in the middle of the season, it was like, that was just stupid. Like, and it's like, yeah, like we all expect RJ to be a good player, but like, I mean, come on, like it's pretty obvious Alex Caruso is pretty damn valuable right now.
Yeah. He's just so smart defensively.
Yeah, it's nuts. He's so good.
He was even like a few minutes in that fourth last night. He was all over Giannis too.
He was, yeah. I was watching his defensive highlights. He just took the ball out of Giannis's hands at one point.
He took a really big charge. He was forcing to make some bad passes. It was, man, yeah. He's pretty good.
And then going the other way, he's making full court passes. Like, yeah, no, he's a stud, man.
Yeah. What's the status on Lonzo? How long is he out for?
Tell. I wish he would be back. It would be really fun if Lonzo was there.
I think that if he's back, it would be even hard. It would be a lot harder of a series for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you have, assuming Lonzo starts, you have a really good defensive point guard, and then he subs out for a point guard that's probably equally good defensively, just a little bit less offense.
Yeah, Lonzo got ruled out for the season in April.
Okay, that's too bad.
That sucks. That would. They were at their. I mean, the Bulls cooled off a little bit to be sure, but a ton of that was Lonzo and Caruso getting hurt. It was like they're huge pieces to this being a blast of a team.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Do you have any playoff thoughts? Any more playoff thoughts right now?
Let's see. I don't know. That probably mostly covered. I do expect I'm expecting the Bucks to still pull through. But if Chris Middleton isn't back and healthy for round two, I don't expect them to go any further than that.
Yeah.
I think, if you ask me right now, given the injury to Devin Booker and partially to Chris Middleton, if you ask me for my title favorite, I would probably take the Celtics.
That's fair. They're good.
And honestly, my next pick after them would probably be the Sixers.
Okay. That's pretty fair, too.
Then I'm probably still not giving enough credit to the Warriors, and then I would say it's a different ball game if you can promise me that Devin Booker will be back healthy before the Suns are eliminated.
Yeah. I think he's a big piece for them because that's so much of their scoring.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy. I mean, like, Chris Paul is the guy, but like Devin Booker is the guy. Like he's the offense. He's the one who can go off for 31 and a half. He's the closer.
Yeah, these days, Chris Paul is not scoring like Booker can.
No, not at all.
Like, not running around people like Booker can. Yeah, he doesn't really want to. I mean, before Booker got hurt, he didn't need to.
Yeah,
he's going to have to a little bit. He's going to have to pick that up.
It's Booker's squad and when they're at their best. So if he can come back and actually be healthy before they are eliminated or down like 3-1 in a series or something like that, that'll be huge. Yeah. But if not, I would be watching the Warriors, the Sixers, and the Celtics.
Man, yeah, I think if the Warriors can keep at this pace, and I know it's different because right now they're against a very shorthanded Nuggets team, but like if they can keep at this pace, they're looking good.
Yeah.
Because like defensively, they've had it most of the season,
mm-hmm.
except for when like Dre was out.
Yeah.
Offensively, they have like too many options right now.
Yeah, if Poole could go off for 30 a night in the playoffs, then they're just fine on offense.
And it's pretty funny seeing like Curry come back from the injury, and yeah, he's on a minutes restriction. It's not like a huge minutes restriction, I don't think. Let me check his minutes of the last game, but because he was just like, yeah, I'll just come off the bench. I don't care.
Yeah,
especially after game one where he's like, yeah, I think Jordan will be fine if I come off the bench. I think we'll be okay. Let me check his minutes on that game. 23 minutes off the bench and scoring 34.
Yeah, light work.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Yeah, all he needed to fix his shooting slump this season was to get injured, apparently.
I mean, hey, that's getting injured is how he became a good shooter.
Yeah. You're right, yeah. It's always been the key for him.
Yeah, very strange. It's awards. It's awards time. It's award season.
It is. Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year.
You know, I'm down with that. That's good.
We ride. I'm a smart guy. Always have been.
Let me pull up the good old awards. We'll do the real awards first, then we have to create some fake ones.
Yep.
The
ones that really matter.
Right. Oops. NBA awards. 22. Okay. All right. Complete list. We will start with coach. Let's start with coach. You go first. I feel like this is a hard one. This might be the hardest one. Yeah,
I'm gonna be wimpy and choose to view it the opposite way. I'm gonna choose it as an easy one because there's so many good options.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with dude for the Grizzlies.
Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, Taylor Jenkins.
That's
yeah.
Very fair. That's really good.
It's really good team. There's a bunch of good candidates. I'm still kind of shocked that they were an elite team without Ja this year, so I'll pick him.
They had a streak without Ja.
They went like 17-2. It's really weird.
Yeah. I'm thinking that's my first place then is him, and then my second would be Spoelstra.
Yeah, awesome year. And Spoelstra's probably a little bit hurt by just the fact that I expected this from him every year now.
Yeah. That, yeah, he's no, definitely. Like
he's got some like Popovich disease where it's like, yeah, no, cool, you won 54 games again. That's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your job.
Mm.
Yeah, I honestly, Spoelstra, that he's keeping that team together.
Yeah, he's amazing. Amazing. They'd be fools to ever get rid of him before he wants to leave.
Yeah. I remember there was that, they played the Warriors and like, it was Butler, and who's getting into a little scuffle with
really hasn't like stepped in, but it was really just a Butler Spoelstra problem.
Yeah, yeah. And then after the game, Spoelstra's like, "Yeah, I mean, we all want to win."
So what are you gonna fucking do? Fight me?
Spoelstra left, went and got a clipboard, walked back to Jimmy Butler, make sure Jimmy Butler is watching, and then threw the clipboard down.
Yeah, no, that was awesome.
That's like the best part of the whole thing is it's like, I need to go get this just to throw it.
That was amazing. And remember, if LeBron had had his way back in the Heatles days, Spoelstra would have been fired then.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's got to be like the one case where like, if it was 2012 and you could choose between keeping LeBron or Spoelstra for the Heat, you probably take Spoelstra.
Yeah, I think so.
But LeBron has won two titles since then, so maybe not. But
that's true.
that's like the one guy who's actually set his team up good for a long while.
Yeah, I think the Heat have had more consistent success.
Yeah. And it's like,
I mean,
we knew that LeBron was leaving, so it's easy to say. If they had actually been like, you get to pick one or the other, that would have been pretty tough.
Yeah, definitely.
But it didn't work out poorly for them keeping Eric. And not that that's the reason LeBron left anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Most improved player. The finalists are Darius Garland, Ja Morant, DeJounte Murray. A lot of fuss about Poole not being in there.
Yeah, because he could have easily been a winner.
I think here's the thing. I think he should be a finalist. But I understand him like if he lost to like Garland.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it was either last night or a few nights ago. I think Stan Van Gundy on a broadcast was saying that the thing with Poole is that he felt Poole was almost just as good last year, just getting less minutes.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he didn't vote for him. Was because he's like, he didn't improve as much. He's just getting more looks now. I'm like, that's a point. I guess. But I feel like he is a bit better.
Yeah. And also, it's a key point to remember is that being just as good on increased usage and minutes is improving, you know, like
right.
That was always that's the craziest stat you could ever find about Kawhi Leonard is that when you map out his first like 7-8 years in the league or something like that, he goes from having this tiny usage to this really high usage, and his efficiency stays the exact same the whole time, which is not how that's supposed to work.
Yeah.
So if you're just as good on more usage, you did improve.
Yeah.
But I'd probably double dip on the Grizzlies and go Ja here just because I think he was better to begin with, like better last year than Garland was, and he's better this year than Garland is. So it's not like he went from like worst to better, but he's so stinking good, and he went to like a top five MVP guy this year.
Yeah. I do like the argument for Garland though, because last year he was like just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like really,
no, he's got a great
case.
Yeah, he's got a great case.
Yeah. So I think for me, of these top three, for me, my number one's Garland.
Yeah.
But my number two's Ja.
Gotcha.
And then I guess that makes number three DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
Which like
for me, I no shade to him. Just he kind of suffers from I didn't watch the Spurs this year.
That's what I was about to say. Like for me. I didn't watch.
I know he's really good.
He's better. I believe you. Yeah.
I've heard all about it, but it's like, it's just kind of like, yeah, I wasn't paying attention. Sorry.
Okay. Next. Who's your least improved
player this year?
Oh.
And I want you to take that two ways. Who got the worst? Who unimproved the most? But also, who was just the exact same? Who stayed exactly where they were before?
That's hard.
Yeah, I'm running. I don't have a prepared answer. Who got the worst? There's a pretty easy case for Russ.
Yeah, that's true. He might be there. I don't know. I honestly don't think I can put that there because his shooting efficiency, I think when I looked at it, was like the same as it's been the last few years.
Yeah.
It's just watching it looks worse because of the team around him.
Yeah, he does always a classic late career Russ thing is also that he takes a bunch of games before he gets going now.
You know what? My least improved player goes to the entire starting roster of the Lakers. Can we do that? Can we do a whole five?
That's fair. I hate to do it. These are all guys I like, but another strong candidate would be Julius Randle.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Not his
he
year.
Was a yeah.
And low key James Harden, who was a superstar when he was still with the Rockets and was kind of buns for most of the year with the Nets.
Granted, he's been like pretty good this series.
Yeah, but it still seems
odd. Scoring hasn't been scoring has not been the same.
If this was like the James Harden who was like MVP Harden, I feel like the Sixers would be the shoe-ins for the title, and it doesn't really seem like he's totally that guy anymore. Joel Embiid is that guy, but
yeah,
it's not like they have two. It doesn't seem like, as far as the player that stayed the most the same this year, I'm going to say I want to be careful here. This is an important choice.
Mm-hmm.
As good as he is, I feel like Drew Holiday is the exact same player he was last year.
That's fair. Yeah, Drew's a good pick. I do want to give a slightly improved shout out also to Damian Lee.
Yeah.
Because he's making more layups now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that because he's taking more, or has he stopped missing an average of one a game?
No, he's just stopped missing. Honestly, I think he's taking less.
Ah, he decided to stop taking the ones he was missing. A genius strategy.
Because we got, you know, the roster's pretty, you know, the roster's back.
Yeah.
So he's getting less time. But he's making some. So I'll give him that. Okay. Sixth man of the year. Finalists are Tyler Hero, Kevin Love, and Cameron Johnson.
Okay, I'll do my. I can get mine out of the way quick. I can't pick it unbiased, so I'm picking Cam Johnson. My brain is assuming that Tyler Hero is going to win.
I'm assuming Tyler Hero. Honestly, did not watch a lot of Heat games this year, so I.
Yeah, I just heard a lot about him.
Heard a lot about him. He's pretty good on the radio. No, that's Jack Harlow. Kevin Love would be really cool to win that.
That would be really cool.
I want that.
I saw an interesting graphic the other day. It was young stars. And it was one gotta go, you know, and it was Tyler Hero, Tyrese Maxey.
Mm.
And I'm really trying to remember the other two because when I saw it, I was like, I said bye to Tyler Hero in a second. And there are a lot of these graphics out there, but the ones I'm seeing are more reasonable where they include like with Jordan Poole, it would be a discussion. This one has RJ Barrett, and I'm not like leaping at the chance to take Barrett, but like it was legit like Tyrese Maxey, Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, Tyler Hero. And I was like, okay.
Those are different levels.
I'm good. I got mine.
Tough. Okay, sixth man. Oh no, we did that. I think for us. Okay, we already know the winner of defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart. But the finalists were him, Rudy Gobert, and Mikal Bridges. Honestly, all good picks.
Yeah, since we know the winner, the only thing I'll say is I don't really like the narrative that only big men should be able to win the award. I understand it from I understand the value perspective. I understand like the stats behind it. I think it's dumb to say like wing can't be the defensive player of the year. The defensive player of the year is not literally stated to be like the most impactful. Like you can take it out if you want, but there's not a set definition for it. And
right. Call it paint defender if it's going to be big men.
Yeah. And it's just like, as I saw some people argue, if you can convince me that a mediocre, and not Rudy Gobert is not mediocre, but if you can convince me that like a mediocre big man is more important to your defense than a great wing defender, I think they'd give me the guy who's great at defending, and he should still be able to be defensive player of the year if he did that good a job, and Marcus Smart does that good job.
Yeah, I think part of that is because big man defense, I think, is more visible.
Yeah.
You know, like, we see blocks. But, like, good perimeter defense to, like, most people, I don't think you notice that the same.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, I mean, defense is even immensely difficult to study, like, statistically, because it's, as I saw someone put recently, it's the study of events that didn't happen, which is pretty difficult to do.
Yeah.
So I do it, but yeah, I really just am like, if give it to the, like, this is a stupid sounding thing, but like, give it to the guy who stood out. If we were really going by positional versatility all that much, Kawhi Leonard should not have ever won Defensive Player of the Year over Draymond Green.
Yeah.
But some guys stand out. Kawhi Leonard stood out as a guy who could lock down people on the wing and do things that people hadn't seen before. So you can win it. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, Kawhi can literally get steals without looking at the ball.
Yeah.
You know, who else can do that? I like Marcus winning it. It's fun. Good for him.
Yep. I like that he wore the like boxing robe with it.
Yeah.
Before showing up and holding Kyrie to like 12 points or something.
Yeah. He's so fun. I love Marcus Smart.
He's great.
Okay. Rookie, Scottie Barnes, Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham. I mean, it's probably going to be Scotty.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'll be a small center. Personally, I'm going Mobley.
Fair.
But no problem with Scotty winning it. It would be a problem if anyone besides those two guys won it. All loved Cade. They've been awesome. I just like Mobley's peak a little bit more this year.
That's fair. I like that too. Scotty, I think it comes down to Scotty. Just, he's been a really good rookie on a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown up and done it day in, day out, and I think he's been a little more consistent than Evan, and I think Evan had some missed time with injuries that Scotty didn't have.
I think people also just really like Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
He's just fun.
But I give, and Darius Garland got way better, so, and there's a lot of factors at it, but I give a lot of play at the in wildly improved, a lot of credit for the wildly improved Cavs to Evan Mobley.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Legit good day definitely. One.
Yeah. Okay, MVP, Jokic, Embiid, Giannis.
I'm going Jokic. I think he's just been too ridiculously good. I think all three deserve to win it. But I just think he's been a tiny step above everybody else this year. He's just been amazing.
I've seen a lot of people say the argument is that Joel Embiid should get it because he brought them to to more wins.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the standings, obviously, you know, different conferences, but whatever. Joel Embiid took the Sixers, who I would say have a better roster.
Mm-hmm.
51-31. Jokic took Denver with a bad roster, 48-34. It's not that different.
Yeah, it's not different enough to be like a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
Like if Jokic was like in a play-in game or had missed the playoffs or something like that, and he was,
it'd almost be a different story.
But if he like missed playoffs, maybe, but like, no, like they were all absolutely nuts, and there's nothing on the winning side that's so different that it makes it a bigger case for me. I think they all deserve it just fine. I have no problem with whoever wins. I refuse to be upset. I just personally lean towards the big man from Serbia.
Yeah, and did you see they played against each other recently? And I don't remember who was interviewed, but one of the two was interviewed before or after the game of Jokic and Embiid, and they asked him like, "Oh, like what do you guys think of the MVP race? Like, do you think you're gonna get it over him?" And I don't remember which one said it, but they were like, yeah, we just talked before the game. We were just talking, and we said, as long as a big man wins, we win.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that, like, 5 years ago, the center position was supposed to be dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, Giannis also good, but I think Jokic and Embiid have just carried
Yeah, I think they'll go 1-2. Now, if Giannis already didn't have two MVPs and a final MVP to his name, I think he would actually be getting more serious consideration. I think he's getting a little bit that we just expect you to be this good treatment. But I genuinely would have no problem with any of them winning. This is just like, for me, the Westbrook, Kawhi, Harden MVP, which I had no problem whoever won that.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm sure tons of people would be furious at that comparison, but I'm good with everybody.
Yeah. All right. We got to do our own awards now.
All right. What you got? I know you had at least one.
I'm going to hit you with the new one. It is the One Punch Man Award. It is not for winning in one shot or anything like that. It is guy who looks like this season looks like he puts in the average amount of work, but makes a much larger impact than what he looks like he's capable of.
Uh-huh.
So take a guess on who gets the first one. This should be easy.
I'm assuming it has to be Alex Caruso.
It's Alex this year.
Yeah. If there was ever a guy who runs a couple miles a day, does 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups, and loses hair because of it, it's Alex Caruso.
I felt like he was the perfect first.
Yeah, I love it. That.
Yeah. What do you got?
Let's see. Let's do... Damn, I really should have prepared for this. You're better at coming up with them on the spot than I am.
Honestly, I thought about it earlier today. It just
nice. You do another one. I'll come up with one by the time we do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's do best hit of the season. And I'm talking a physical hit.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time picking a winner, but I have a few nominees.
I can think of two nominees that really stand out for me.
Okay.
Do you want to list your nominees before I go?
Yeah, so because they might be the same.
Yeah.
Jokic for hitting sure. Morris.
Classic.
Right.
Morris hitting the floor. Ayo.
Morris hitting the floor, sure. And then we have LeBron hitting Isaiah Stewart.
Yep. Absolutely.
Followed by Isaiah Stewart's blind rage.
Yep.
So those are my two. What do you got?
We had the exact same two, and I thought a little bit about Campazzo's late season push, quote, literally, trying to get in the running for shoving Wayne Ellington for no reason. But not quite the same level of prominence. But I'm gonna go with a bit of an upset. And I'm going to give the win to LeBron just absolutely obliterating Isaiah Stewart.
That was a hard hit for really no reason.
And it looks like very planned when you watch it back.
Yeah, when it looks very planned, he's like, I'm annoyed. I'm hitting this guy.
Yeah, he like looks at him and then just backhands the shit out of him, which is...
That was bloody. That was bloody.
Yeah, more blood, more fun, and less annoying discourse than the Jokic Morris.
Although, Morris has been out like the rest of the season.
Yeah, he legit missed the rest of the season.
Is he really that? Like, that's crazy.
That's why they said from like the whiplash when he hit the floor or whatever.
Damn. Jokic tried going after Gary Payton the other night. Jokic he took offense to a heading into a timeout. They crossed paths and Gary Payton slapped him on the butt. And Jokic like turned around and was like, I'm going after this man, and like had to be held back by like Curry and some teammates. And then they asked after the game, they were like, What was that all about? And he's like, oh, he just hit me on the butt after that, and he had no reason to do that.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you one.
I can't think of any other hits. Okay.
New award.
Yep.
But it's going to be a necessary one because the game done changed. American Player of the Year.
Ooh.
Because all three MVP finalists are international guys.
Wow.
Which American brought it the hardest this year?
Dang, what American? We're going like MVP rules, right? Like, so you have to play a certain amount of games.
Yeah, for sure. And well, okay. Born here, because obviously all those guys have American citizenship as well.
Yeah. Hmm. Here's the nominee.
Okay.
Damar.
Okay. I see it.
Right.
All. I thought maybe about Steph, but he had the injury and the big slump.
That's why, yeah, I'd say him, but yeah, I think he didn't play enough this season.
I think purely, and I never would have said this halfway through the season, but the end of the season was so ridiculous. I think I'd go Jason Tatum.
That's so fair. That's actually, that's really good.
A strong claim to being the best American in basketball this year.
Yeah, that's good. Ja, also. Yep.
Also awesome.
Also Ja. It's hard to pick a true winner there. Those are all good. You're locked. Are you locked in with Jason?
I think, man, Ja's tough. Ja was so.
I think, awesome. Yeah, I think honestly, it might be Ja.
I would be between Ja and Jason, and I'd give Damar third place. I guess also it is a little ridiculous that I haven't even mentioned Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but I'm going like with the voting on this too. I'm thinking of how far they really carried.
Yeah. That's fair.
Oh, I'm like, Ja really, like, and you know, I don't always like that ruling. I really don't always like thinking about like how successful was the whole team, but
yeah,
I think the way things were this year,
that's just what you feel America is all about.
I guess so.
How far did you carry your brother, man?
Check this out. This is the new the Enemy of the State award.
The inaugural Enos Kanter Enemy of the State. Was it the inaugural Kyrie Irving Enemy of the State?
Well, here's the thing. Enos Kanter cannot win Enemy of the State if we're going true like government rules, because he's a friend of the state.
That's
in fact,
fair.
He's too friendly. He's well, too friendly.
He's an extreme enemy of a couple of different states.
That's true. But for this, I'm thinking enemy of any of my state, the state of, or our state, the state of full court mess.
Okay. Oh, okay.
My number one nominee, unfortunately, plays for the Bucks. I believe I'm you sure know who it is. Yeah.
That's fair. That's a good one. That's gonna be tough. Who's truly been an enemy of the state for me? Kyrie's always an enemy of the state for me.
I think we can put Kyrie on the list, and we can put Ennis on the list too.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, so they're all on there for different reasons, which is pretty good.
That is good. Honestly, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to agree here, but I wake up at 3 a.m. to go work out because I grind harder than everyone else. Buckets is on my enemy of the state list.
You know, it's a good point.
I've had enough of him.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's like, Jimmy Butler's becoming like a Rajon Rondo with scoring capability and without the homophobia. That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of.
Right.
And he looks way better in a crop top.
He does. But I do respect Jimmy that sometimes he just likes to have fun and sing on the plane.
Yeah, there are. He's a little bit like Pat Bev for me in that there are parts that I do appreciate. But yeah, man, I can swing back and forth on if I like him overall or not.
I mean, he literally was about to fight his coach on the court, to the point where you can see Spoelstra saying, "Do you think I'm gonna fucking fight you?"
I've got an interesting one for you.
Okay,
an enemy to the state, in this case, the state being the NBA.
Okay.
And I'm not saying I agree with the NBA, because why would I agree with the state? But Zion Williamson.
Hmm. Okay.
He is an enemy to his team and probably the league at this point.
He can still dunk pretty good.
He can. They want him back, but as long as he chills out.
Did you see that big ass chain he was wearing?
I did not. He's gonna have a
hernia. He was on that Flava Flav, like, big. And I'm like, well, now he's gonna have back problems.
Yeah. What were your thoughts about the video of the floor bending beneath him when he dunked in practice? Are we assuming that always happens and we just never pay attention to it? Or was he like dunking off of a wrestling mat or what?
You know, I think it was just that court.
Okay.
I think it's just the way that court was built. Because, you know, some courts are like, you can feel when you're walking on them, you're like, it's kind of bouncy. I think it was just the court. I don't think too much of that video.
That was weird. It's not something I had ever noticed in a video before. I would have even believed it was an optical illusion, but I was shook when I saw it.
I remember many years ago, like I was probably like 10, watching like a David Blaine special where a magician did a slam dunk, and they're like, if you look slowly, you can see I pressed down on the floor on this plank and it made him jump off the other plank. And I think about that now, like when I see stuff like Zion bouncing on, I'm like, oh, why would they tell us that? That's not true.
Yeah, wait, that would be just like physics wise so much more difficult than just dunking.
Yeah, I'm like, that,
like, that's not, you'd have to generate so much force and the plank would have to be so solid.
Right. And then it's also like, you have to, each play that is run by a team includes the teammate setting him up and then getting the other side of the, I'm like, why was that on TV? Why, like,
the real magic trick is that we were allowed to air this.
Oh my goodness. That's enemy of the state stuff right there.
Well, every magician is an enemy of the state. That's fair. Will, my picks for enemy of the state, I'm going to do it two parts. Kyrie Irving wins the award as an enemy of state because he was fighting for the unvaccinated workers who lost their jobs due to mandates, theoretically. And Enos Kanter wins enemy of all the other states because all the other states are trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. And it's also just for being a general nuisance.
Yeah, just really hate him.
Like, you know, I get what he's saying about factory work and child labor and underpaid laborers and all that. There were so many better ways he could have gone about that discussion.
Oh, as always, my official position on these candidates is he's a total grifter. He picked up on some legitimate causes. Things that in of themselves are very legit causes, and just exploited them and tried to. I mean, the guy was like planning to miss games to speak at the Republican National Convention or whatever. Like, fuck off forever.
And it is not a coincidence that as like the week he became a U.S. citizen, he got racist.
Yeah,
not got racist, but talked racist. You know, like
the whole thing outwardly. The whole thing. Massive ploy for him. He's Sean King for the NBA, except he's grifting on the Republican side instead of the Democrat side.
And also, fuck all those people that wrote opinion pieces that he was a borderline Hall of Famer, borderline All-Star that is being blackballed out of the league. Watch basketball. Watch him play.
I don't even watch basketball, and I knew that was garbage.
Yeah, people just say things. It's crazy. Like, we're allowed to just say this stuff here.
Yeah,
we probably shouldn't be. Podcast. Yeah, but we're not writing opinion pieces.
No, so, I would never. I write my opinion pieces with my mouth on this pod.
The better way to go about it is what we do here.
It's classier, at least.
So yeah, they're all winning. All Kyrie, Ennis, Grayson Allen, all winners.
Yeah, in a way, the enemy of the state award is just like an Oscar, and they all won their subcategories.
This is our no-fly list.
Yeah.
Grayson Allen also gets enemy of the state points for looking like a young Ted Cruz.
Yeah, just the worst. Just the worst. And also, let's not forget breaking Alex Caruso's wrist.
I mean, yeah, that's my number one.
Real solid.
Thing. Yeah, that's. Yeah, you got any awards?
Just off the dome, I'm curious. This is barely an award, more of a take thing. But who's on your most likely to be traded this offseason?
Westbrook.
Westbrook. All right, if you can't say Westbrook.
Yeah, we can't say that. Okay.
It's the inaugural. You know
what? While we're here, though, Mr.
Westbrook, who's the most likely to be traded?
Wait, while we're here, though, it sucks so bad for Westbrook that they're just like, he's the scapegoat also.
Yeah.
Making the coach the scapegoat was already bullshit. He got them a championship, like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, it's that fucking sucks. Also, it sucks that he learned he was being fired before he was fired. I mean, he probably expected it. But the night of their last game, the reporter's like, did you see the Woj tweet that you're being fired tomorrow morning? And he's like, well, they haven't told me shit yet. A mess.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a nasty business over in LA. I don't know why anyone would want to be the coach there.
I saw an article that like they were considering they wanted to go after Quinn Snyder. I saw like a bunch of reporters tweet like the way with how they fired the coach, Quinn Snyder. It made him so much less interested in having that job.
Of course it did. It's like, Quinn, do you want to come to the Lakers? And I mean, there's advantages. He would get way more cocaine.
Mm-hmm. He could surf there.
He would have less talent, less job security, and the fans would hate him instead of worshiping him.
Yeah.
So you better give him enough money and coke to make it worth it.
Give him some surfboards. He seems like a surfer guy. I like Quinn Snyder, man. He's so chill. He's so cool.
I like the video of him rubbing his gums on the... What's his chapstick video? How does he apply it again?
How did he do that?
He just, like, rubs it on his fingers and then just, like...
Yeah, something like that, yeah. What an interesting
guy. He's a freak.
He's a good coach, though.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. All right, anyway. Okay, the most likely to be traded. That's hard. Let me look.
Is there anyone who's a lock?
Anyone who is a lock?
Yeah, besides Russ. Anyone who's just absolutely getting moved this offseason?
Man. I don't know. The teams... You know, I would imagine Gobert's on the move. If they don't make a deep run.
If they lose early.
And like, I think it's clear there's some chemistry issues over there. Like Donovan averages 2 passes to him a game.
Right.
Which is like, that's concerning. I would imagine. Looking at rosters right now. Houston's going to make... Is John Wall going to be traded for, or are they just going to... Someone going to wait that out to buy out?
I think they're just going to wait it out, but Christian Wood might get traded.
You know what? He's pretty good on the right team.
Yeah. I'll give you one. Here's I did the research real quick, and by that I mean I looked it up for the past couple of minutes. I said, give me the most useful above average age player on the Oklahoma City Thunder. So he doesn't get paid a lot, so that could hurt here, but I'm going to say that Kenrich gets traded this offseason for like 3 second round picks or something stupid.
Okay. Interesting.
I also wanted to predict Derek Favors, but I don't know if anybody wants him.
I feel like he's just like a little bonus on top of another trade, you know, like, yeah, hey, like you have this good veteran depth. if you want.
Have him if you want, yeah. He feels like an in-season trade.
There was rumors that there were rumors that the Hornets wanted Westbrook. Which is stupid. But then I'd have to imagine Rozier's on the move.
Yeah, that'd be fair.
Which, like, I don't know how much that actually, what that means, really. I don't know. I think right now it's really hard. Oh, you know what? Randall?
That's a good one, yeah. He openly hates the fans, and they openly hate him.
That's classic New York.
That's New York, baby.
I don't know where he would go, but... Yeah, I don't know. Hard.
All right.
How about, okay, different than awards, but just favorite regular season moments this year.
Let's see.
Okay, let me hit you with the Clay Day.
Nice.
Great moment.
Absolutely.
And man, what a dunk he did. What a big one.
Any Anthony Edwards press conference.
Okay, good. Very good.
Absolute stellar stuff.
Did you see them on ESPN asking him about his dog?
Yeah.
And then who has more confidence?
Yes. Anthony Edwards Jr. That's his dog, right?
It's so good.
That's awesome, man. He rules.
And then he's like, well, he gets his confidence from me. And I love Richard Jefferson being like, oh, so you're like Pat Bev of the house.
See, what?
It was a big, I feel like this season felt really long and really short at the same time. I think because the last two seasons have been so fucked up and weird.
Yeah. I know I'm like already blanking on some just massive moments that happened this year.
I know I am too.
The first thing I thought of when you asked that was Jordan Poole's double between the legs move against the Wizards.
Okay, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, I love when the Wizards started 10-3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just not making it.
Yeah, no, finished with like 35 wins or something. Pathetic.
And now they have the unicorn.
Oh, God. What the hell they're ever doing, I have no idea.
I don't think they have any idea.
No, that's fair. LaMelo going between the legs and off the glass to Miles.
Instant classic.
Love that. Oh, Pat Beverly doing the stinky sign to the Lakers.
Yep, to the whole bench.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The big high score cat game.
Oh yeah. Wait, that was good. It's especially the super Minnesota thing of them almost blowing the game, trying to get him a few more points.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which late in the season, Anthony Edwards had that big game, and he was trying to get to 50, and he was like forcing threes and missing all of them, and then almost blew the lead.
They almost blew two different games that way.
Incredible.
Cat winning the 3-point contest was dope.
That was so cool.
Love that for him.
Honestly, big year for bigs.
Big year for bigs. The year of the big.
I think so. I think we could call it that.
Yeah.
I mean, 3-point. The MVP is a lock.
Yeah.
They've just been baller.
You're the bigs. I love to see it. We love the large boys, and we love when they love to roughhouse.
That's true. That's true. We love, you know what? Top moment. This is a controversial one. The Jokic hit.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, what came after it kind of sucked. All the conversation sucked, but he hit Jokic first, and then he turned his back. It's a fair hit.
It was what I asked for, which was it was just funny. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Here, I got one for you. I got a toughie.
Okay.
See if you can answer this on the spot. If you can't, just skip by it. Okay. But I warned you. I wanted more Elden Ring content on our pod. What's your do you have an Elden Ring NBA moment of the year? I'm thinking I want to make a Suns, the official Elden Ring team of the year, because the most people died and respawned trying to face them.
Okay, yeah.
But what's your Elden Ring moment of the season?
Man, so this is like, explain how, so this is like my moment in Elden Ring, or is this like a moment in the league that moment, I would say is very Elden Ring like?
Yes, that's what we're looking for.
Also, I was thinking soon, probably more in the off season, when we do our like video game focused episode of the year.
Yeah.
Free show on the stream, I think we should make, I'm hoping we get a guest for this. I want to do a tier list of Elden Ring and / or Dark Souls bosses, but the tiers are based on how well they'd be able to dunk.
Love it. Isn't there one of them with like 20 hands? I want that one.
Okay. Oh man. I need a moment. This is hard.
It's a tough question. I wasn't fair to you. If I was fair to you, I would have given you time to prep.
I gotta say, here's what I'm thinking is who had the worst shooting performance this year?
DeMar did just go like 6 of 27 in a playoff game.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm cheating. I'm doing some research.
That's fine. I expect it. I'm using this brief pause to activate my TNT account so I can watch the Grizzlies Wolves.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's on now. Oh shit.
Yep. I only saw it because I saw a tweet about someone saying Cat is too big to try to take charges in transition.
Let me get back to you on the Elden Ring Award.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do that next week.
I'm with it. Yeah, that's fair. That's more than fair.
Okay. How about what's the worst thing that's happened this season?
Oh man, where do you start? I think it's got to be the every time I had to hear Enes Kanter's name, or the Wizards acquiring Kristaps Porzingis.
Both huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Both to me.
Wow.
Not things I was meant to endure.
I gotta say, also the Kyrie anti-vax.
Yep.
And then his first game back, his first game at home, like gesturing as if he won it for everyone. Like, this is a huge win for us. And it's like, man, you just gotten the shot.
Yeah, and literally nothing happened. He was like, I did this to protest people who lost their jobs over mandates, which was always bullshit, but the law that let him back in was an exemption that let athletes do it.
Yeah.
So he's like, we did it. And he's like, what, pro athletes? And also y'all were getting paid anyways the whole time.
Yeah. You weren't like, yeah.
He didn't do anything for anybody, but he never meant to. Boy.
So that was a big one for me, I would say. Having just to, it was really annoying. To the
Ben Simmons diet discourse. That was terrible.
Ooh. Okay. Good. I'm so glad that's over with, kind of.
Yep. Yeah. Until you're ready for him being back game 4 against the Celtics.
Oh, brother. What's he going to do? I mean, first off, he's probably only going to play 15 minutes a game.
Yeah, there's no way he's conditioned or anything.
There's no way he's not on minutes restriction. So, if anything, it's just interesting and that's it.
I'm hearing that the Wolves have the Grizzlies in hell.
Okay. You know what? That's fine.
I'm good with it.
Whoever wins, we win.
They really do. Plus, the winner of this series gets a matchup with the Warriors. We're all winning.
That's true. I'm pretty confident the Warriors can beat the Wolves.
Yeah, you should be.
And I'm pretty confident they can beat the Grizzlies. Although, it might be hard against the Grizzlies just because the Grizzlies will be able to match that constant running energy.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think the series has done a pretty good job validating this. I was told before the series that the Wolves are just the worst case matchup for the Grizzlies. So I would be pretty interested to see them throw their best shot at the Warriors if they do escape this.
It'll be fun.
But also I want the Wolves to move on, so.
Yeah, it'll be fun either way.
Good time for us. The fans, as always, are the winners in the NBA.
That's true, except for Sixers fans. They stay miserable for some reason.
MVP of the year, the fans.
That's true.
Yeah, all right. Sixers fans are always miserable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Let's do a couple last pieces of news, kind of news discussion. Lakers, new coaching time. They're going after everyone, apparently. And by everyone, I mean everyone that's not that great.
They're going after Darvin Ham.
A lot of talk about Mark Jackson. So, I figured it was time to bring back this famous article about Mark Jackson. actually, a few articles from different sources. Deadspin, NBC Sports. Sports Illustrated. Let's just go CBS Sports here. Titled, Ex-Warriors Coach Mark Jackson's Church Tried to Heal Stephen Curry's Ankle with Oil. Do you know this story?
I have heard it, yes.
All right. I'm just going to read excerpt from... it's from... Marcus Thompson's book, Golden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, credit to him and his book, Golden. Sports Illustrated ran an excerpt of it. Here it is. A part of the tradition at Jackson's church was a spirited service, including worshipers jogging along the walls of the congregation in praise. Curry, 2 days removed from his latest sprain, and assuming this is like the big Curry injury days.
Yeah.
Found himself taking laps with Jackson and other members filled with the spirit. Then, after Jackson's sermon, his wife and co-pastor Desiree continued the worship with an impromptu sermon and benediction. She also called Curry to the altar. They took off his shoes and socks, anointed his ankle with oil, and prayed for healing. Parishioners lifted their voices in chants and amens, calling on God to bless one of his Christian ambassadors. Service at Jackson's church was much more passionate and engaging than Curry was used to back in Charlotte. But he humbly accepted the blessing that was being offered and returned to his seat with a smile on his face. So far, it's whatever. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to diss any church stuff. So far, it's mostly innocent. All right, so, humbly accept blessing, being offered return to seat. Where are you going? Desiree asked the star point guard in front of the congregation. Curry responded with his go-to look of bewilderment, a half smile and widened eyes. He thought he was supposed to return back among the flock when she was done. You don't get a blessing from the Lord and just walk off, she shouted. Show us you believe in the power of God. It took Curry a second to understand what she meant. Then the old Bible stories rushed to his mind, like when Jesus healed the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, that man had to pick up his mat and walk. If he believed it was healed, he needed to show it. So Curry started shimmying and hopping on his right foot, much to the delight of the congregation. I didn't know what else to do, Curry said.
Nasty work.
This all took place at the beginning of the 2012-13 season, in which Curry played 76 games. Previous season, he suffered 5 separate ankle injuries and only appeared in 26. There's more. I'm not going to go over all that, but we can... retweeted or something. But
what do you think of the storyline, the other storyline of Mark Jackson comes to coach the Lakers, of Mark Jackson being on national TV catastrophically horny for LeBron's wife?
You know, We just gotta see how that plays out.
Hey, nothing. We put them in a room together. They'll come out. They'll be good.
Honestly, you know, I think Mark Jackson can be, he can have some good strategy. Obviously, I think with the Warriors, it was proven that someone else was needed to take them further.
Yeah.
Also, really do not like Mark Jackson for his homophobia.
Yeah, not good.
You know, pretty blatant. I don't know why everyone just kind of passes over this. But if the Lakers want to hire him, as another thing, you know, decision and of many bad decisions, do it so I don't have to listen to him on TV anymore.
That is huge. That is an underrated part. The only time I want to hear Mark Jackson calling a game again is when I go watch that fake YouTube clip that's like 45 seconds long of him saying, "Jimmy crack corn and I don't care, Jeff Van Gundy, Celtics by 5.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The other issue with Mark Jackson is that the Kings are interested in him also for some reason. And if the Kings hire him, I want to like the Kings. I know Warriors are like the team for me. Yeah. But I want to like the Kings because they're also local. They got some fun guys. I do like Sabonis, even though I'm still upset that they about the trade they made for him. Hiring Mark Jackson is like the last straw.
Yeah, I mean,
then they ran out of straws already.
If he's going to get a job, I need it to be with the Lakers because then everything, I can hate them and everything bad, I just laugh at. The Kings hiring him would just make me sad.
Right. The Lakers make a bad decision, we laugh. The Kings do it, we groan.
Yeah. I would rather laugh than groan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. What do the Lakers do aside from coach? Like,
I mean, they
failed pretty miserably this season.
I don't really know. If as many moves as they fucked up, if Anthony Davis is not going to play more and LeBron is going to start missing more time to injuries, that's kind of like their blueprint.
I'm seeing so many tweets and like shit just from people of all levels of sports Twitter about how the Warriors should trade for Anthony Davis. The first set of trade idea, you know, I think who sparked this was Colin Coward saying that they should trade Wiseman for AD because Wiseman is a, you know, a decent player who gets hurt too often. And I'm like, what is Anthony Davis then?
Wait, it's like, also in this scenario, are like, all love James Wiseman. Are the Lakers accepting Wiseman for AD straight up? Or is this like Wiseman and like 30 first round picks for Anthony Davis?
No, I think it was like Wiseman, Kuminga Moody or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. The logic because he gets hurt too often is hilarious.
And then yesterday there was more people saying like, oh, the Warriors should really trade for AD. They could trade Poole. Like the Lakers would accept Poole and, you know, a few other guys. And it's like, why would they do that also? I don't. Go ahead.
Like, it's not going well with Anthony Davis for the Lakers, but imagine, like, being the Lakers and being like, okay, he's the one we got to get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. It's
the youngest one is the one that's got to go.
And then it's like, I'm seeing a lot of tweets of like, these fans are foolish if they think that their team wouldn't trade, you know, these good guys for Anthony Davis. Or, like, these fans should want Anthony, these other teams should want. And I'm like, you should ask yourself, why don't you want Anthony Davis?
Yeah, right.
And then you wonder why we don't want him.
Just imagine if you did, like, if you walked up to LeBron next year, though, and you proposed to him, like, all right, we're going to run it back. Only change is we're swapping out Anthony Davis for James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody. Imagine he's like, "Nah, I must have misheard you. What was the plan?"
Yeah.
You walked in and told me we're running it back, except we're getting rid of Anthony Davis. Like I said, I think Anthony Davis is—he's not like the solution there because he gets hurt so often. But like, that's hysterical.
It doesn't solve the main issue. Is like they don't have shooting.
Yeah, they have no other players. Russ wasn't good this year. Anthony Davis was hurt a lot. And LeBron is getting hurt more and more as he gets older.
Yeah, and you know, even in game, Russ had some good games. Those games don't matter if he's having a good game, because he doesn't bring anything new that LeBron doesn't already bring.
Yeah.
He's just the same guy, but much smaller.
Yeah, and with worse decisions.
yeah, definitely.
I would like to note that the Wolves are up 18 on the Grizzlies at the end of the first quarter.
You know, again, I say I don't care who wins, but also that's good to hear.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I will not be upset no matter who wins, but I want the Wolves to win.
Exactly. That's it right there. Anything else we were going to talk about? No, this is kind of a long one, but we did miss like a month.
That's also fair.
Well, I guess we'll be back probably in a week with more playoff stuff.
And Jared's Elden Ring takes.
And some Elden Ring takes. I got, I need to think about the, anything about that Elden Ring player of the year. That's good. I'll think of something.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
As always, folks, go out, buy yourself a couple of cold Coca-Cola Starlights.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
We are sponsored by them until I remember to find one and drink it. So
if you drink it and you like it, is it still the sponsor?
Yes.
And if you don't like it,
and I absolutely hate it, it's still the sponsor.
We find a new one. Oh, no, it's still the sponsor.
If I drink it and it's mediocre, we find a new sponsor.
Okay, so top shelf, low shelf. It passes we get a new one, and you got and it's a new one that like you have to try too.
Yeah, I'm thinking early favorite, because I'm guessing it probably will be mediocre, but early favorite if it doesn't pass the test. I'm gonna switch over to we're gonna be officially sponsored by that Pepsi Nitro or Coca-Cola Coffee.
Okay.
One of those.
Yeah, try it. I did try that Nitro.
I heard it's smooth.
It's very smooth. I just wish, like, it needs that middle ground. It needs a little bit more carbonation when I drink it.
No one wanted Pepsi to be completely smooth.
Yeah, it just felt a little flat to me.
Gotcha. All right.
Maybe I just had a bad one.
It might be sponsoring our podcast in a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, we'll get there. Okay. Well, we should be back next week. We've been pretty inconsistent, but things be happening and such, but
they do be,
but eventually things be calming, so we'll figure it out,
and that's when you get our sweet sweet takes straight from the source.
Oh yeah, and we should have Joe back soon.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not consistently, but he'll be hopping in and out. We'll get some guests.
Good heavens, the Wolves are now up 26 points.
Oh brother, I gotta turn this shit off so I can watch that. All right. Remember that we love you. That's the important thing, I think, right?
That's it.
Thank you very much.